The title of the message this morning is up on the screen, Have You Any Room for Jesus? My mother alluded to it, and I didn't talk to her when I wrote this message. That's the coordination of the Holy Spirit. Have you any room for Jesus? Many, if not all of us, have accepted the Lord in our lives, but we all need to ask ourselves the question, what place or priority does he have in our lives? What place or priority does he have in our lives? How much room do I have for Jesus in my life? Have the cares of this world choked out the room and the time that should be given to the Lord? We saw the video of Larnell Harris this morning. I miss my time with you. If that isn't sad, Jesus saying that, I don't know what is. Have the cares of this world choked out the room and the time that we should be given to the Lord? How much of Jesus have we accepted in our lives? Now, when we first accept the Lord in our lives and go through water baptism, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, yes, we accept the Lord in our lives. But do we fully accept him at that point? No. Have we fully accepted the Lord at this point in our lives? That's between you and God. I don't know. It's a question we all have to ask ourselves. How much of Jesus have we accepted in our lives? We say that we accepted the Lord in our lives at the point of initial salvation, but over the years, how much of Jesus, his teachings, his will for our lives, have we accepted in the time that we have known him? Many of us have known him for decades. That's a lot of the time to have accepted more and more of the Lord in our lives. I accepted the Lord in my life many decades ago. I'm very responsible before the Lord. And Jesus could look down, but how much of you may have you, Jonathan, accepted in your life? We call him Lord. But do we really allow him to be Lord in our lives? There's that saying, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Because a Lord has sovereign authority over everything. So then it basically concludes, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. John chapter 13, verse 13 says, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. How much of Jesus have we experienced? And we will never reach the point where we have received enough or all that we could receive of him. There will always be more of Jesus that we could receive in our lives. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. The King James and the NAS versions say, to seek those things which are above. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the church at Colossae, is saying to set your priorities on the Lord, on heavenly things. And why not? This earth is going to pass away. It's in a mess now anyway. Why anyone would want to set their priorities on the earth, considering the condition this world is in, I don't know. I would rather set my priorities on heavenly things after I watch the news. There can be no priority, no better priority in life than the Lord Jesus. Take it a step further. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. I'll read it to you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Not only to prioritize, but to treasure Jesus. To treasure Jesus. Treasure the knowledge of Him and the salvation that He offers. Treasure His sacrifice on the cross. No one else died for you in order to give you eternal life. Only Jesus. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How much time do we give to the Lord as compared to how much time we give to other things? In setting our priorities, we want to prioritize room for Jesus in our lives, a greater depth of knowledge of who Jesus really is. This is what we should be prioritizing in life. This morning we're going to read about the events in the life of someone who had room for Jesus. If you could turn with me to St. Luke chapter 10, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, and we're going to begin at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to begin at verse 38. Now as they were traveling along, this is Jesus and his disciples, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Mary of Bethany lived with her sister Martha and her brother Lazarus. Jesus was probably tired from teaching and ministering to people and needed to rest. Seems like he would find rest in Martha's house. Maybe when Jesus was in Bethany, he would stop here to relax after a long day. What an honor it was for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus that Jesus would go to their house. Wow. Wow. It would be interesting to imagine what we would do or how we would react if Jesus rang our doorbell. Try to picture that event. Mary was spending time listening to Jesus' words. She had been helping Martha. She wasn't lazy. But she stopped when Jesus came so that she could listen to him and learn from him. She did not neglect her household responsibilities or Martha, but she stopped so that she could give time to Jesus because her priority was on him. Mary made room and time for Jesus in her daily activities, in her life. How much room and time do we make for Jesus each day? Or have the cares of this world choked out and replaced the time that we should be giving to the Lord? Considering all that he has done for us and all that he means to us, Jesus should be our top priority. How much time do we spend with Jesus in prayer or with studying him? What priority or value do we place on the greater knowledge and understanding of him? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 states, "that I may know him." How could you know him if you don't spend time with him? Enough time with him. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Now, in verse 42 of Luke chapter 10, Jesus said that time spent with him is needed. Mary has, but only one thing is necessary. Time spent with Jesus is needed. Not just a good idea, Jesus said it's needed. What priority do we give to the Lord? Let's just turn to John chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. John chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. Give you a minute to get there. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made a supper, and Martha served Lazarus. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. A dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Do we honor Jesus in how we live our lives? When Mary would spend time with the Lord, he probably told her about how he was going to die. Of course, about a week later, after this incident, the crucifixion occurred. And Jesus probably told Mary about how he was going to die because she saved her money to buy a very costly ointment so that she could anoint Jesus. And we're going to speak about that process too, what it meant to break open alabaster and anoint someone. This ointment was placed in an alabaster jar. Now, alabaster, oriental alabaster in those days, was marble. The ointment was placed in carefully sealed alabaster marble jars in order to conserve the perfume. That's how costly it was. Spikenard, sometimes referred to as nard, was intensely fragrant, an amber-colored ointment. It was an intensely fragrant, amber-colored ointment. Spikenard was very costly because it had to be imported from India in special, carefully sealed alabaster jars to conserve the perfume. It was, now watch this part, it was considered a luxury in ancient Egypt, the Near East, and Rome. Spikenard was used only when a wealthy person received a special guest into his or her house. The wealthy homeowner, would then break open the seal of the jar to do the anointing. Jesus was Mary's special guest. I want you to remember, it says over here, I've read, a wealthy person, spikenard was used only when a wealthy person received a special guest, then they would anoint that special guest with the ointment. Mary wasn't wealthy. She had to save a year's wages in order to do this, but that's how she prioritized Jesus. That's how much she loved the Lord. Jesus was Mary's special guest. She knew had to set her priorities. Mary saved her money so that she could afford this special ointment for Jesus. She probably refused to buy things for herself so that she could have enough money for the spikenard. Mary's priorities were not in the cares of this world. Jesus was her top priority. We need to ask ourselves this morning if Jesus is the number one priority in our lives. Or do adjustments have to be made in order to make room or more room for Jesus and to give him the proper priority in life, which is first place? Do adjustments have to be made in our lives this morning to give Jesus first place? You may say, I give the Lord room in my life. But are you giving him enough room in your life? The room that should be given, the room that he should get and deserves. The room that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords should get. If a person doesn't give the Lord the proper priority in life, he or she doesn't know the Lord well enough. I want to repeat that. It's very important. I'm very serious this morning. If a person does not give the Lord the proper priority in life, and I'm speaking to myself too, then he or she doesn't know the Lord well enough. Verse 3 of John chapter 12 states that Mary bought pure nard. It was very costly. Verse 5 tells us that it cost a year's wages, which was about 300 denarii for the ordinary worker. An average yearly wage for today may be about 60 to 70,000. So consider how much Mary spent on Jesus. She bought only the best for Jesus. Are we giving Jesus our best? She bought him the best because Jesus was her priority in life and she had a deep and great love for him. She knew him and what he meant in her life. Are we giving our best to Jesus this morning? Maybe we should ask ourselves this morning, how much do we love him? How well do we really know him? With Jesus, the saying is really true. To know him is to love him. How well do we know Jesus this morning? How much room do we have for Jesus in our lives? Is he our number one priority? We heard the Christian contemporary singer this morning, Larnell Harris, I miss my time with you. Jesus, I'm not talking about another person or a dignitary. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, wants to spend time with us. We should feel extremely privileged. Suppose a dignitary wanted to come and visit you. You fix up your house, make sure it was clean and vacuumed and nothing was out of order. Talk about the dignitary. Jesus wants to spend time with us. We should feel extremely privileged. This morning, we need to ask ourselves, how much room and time do we have for Jesus, or do we have any room for Jesus? Have you become lukewarm in your service to Jesus? Do you feel as though you have left your first love? Do you have that fervency and zeal that you had when you first accepted the Lord into your life? Or has that zeal and fervency been choked out by other priorities in your life? This morning you can confess your condition to the Lord and tell him that you want to serve him with fervency and zeal that you once had for him. This morning, do we feel the need for a refilling of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you need to experience the initial baptism of the Holy Spirit. You may have come to church for years and never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You don't know what you're missing. Do you have a hunger and thirst for Jesus? Or have the cares of this world choked out the hunger? Jesus spoke about the cares of this world and the parable of the sower. Have the cares of the world choked out our hunger for the Lord? Are we hungering for things of the world instead of hungering for Jesus? If the hunger for the Lord is waning or gone, there is a remedy this morning. Ask the Lord to restore the hunger, and He certainly will do it. What is the Lord's response to a hunger? Let's just quickly turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, we're going to read verses 1 to 3. Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3, and we're going to read the Lord's response to a hunger. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. That's how the Lord responds to a hunger. And then there's also Jeremiah 29, verse 13, my favorite verse in the Bible. And you will seek me and find me when you will search for me with all your heart. How much of Jesus do you want in your life this morning? Maybe we should examine ourselves this morning. What is our relationship with the Lord, or what has become of our relationship with the Lord? Remember several months ago we spoke about Abraham building altars to the Lord? What has happened to our altars? A person could have gone to church for decades, but can always have a closer relationship with the Lord. We can always receive more of Him. Jesus is infinite. The question this morning is, have you any room or more room for Jesus, the one who gave His life for your eternal salvation, the one who loves you more than you could imagine, the one who supplies all your needs, showers you with blessings, always takes care of you, always has His eye on you, and is everything to you. If you really get to know Jesus, you can't help but always want more of Him. He is a fountain of living water that satisfies your thirst like no one else can. He satisfies all hungering in your life, and He is addictive. Jesus is habit-forming. He's an addiction, if you really get to know Him. If you don't really hunger for the Lord, if you have become lukewarm, if Jesus is not the top priority in your life, if you need refilling or need to experience the initial baptism of the Holy Spirit, then confess your need to the Lord this morning. Ask Jesus for a hunger or greater hunger for Him. Ask the Lord to deliver you from the condition of being lukewarm, complacent, or satisfied in your relationship with Him. Ask Jesus for refilling or refilling of the Holy Spirit. The Lord knows us very well, and knows that we slip into the condition of being lukewarm and complacent. And He is very willing to deliver us from these conditions. Just sincerely ask Him.